can make you do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
The task ahead of the Cleveland Browns this Sunday is a tough one, a tall task indeed, as they travel to Foxborough to take on the 9-3 New England Patriots, but it has gotten a little less insurmountable. Jason Campbell cleared. He is officially probable and will start at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, so at least we're kicking off Browns Daily today on a good note, Notorious. Jason Campbell will be the starting quarterback for the Browns, so at least we'll keep the quarterback circle with three quarterbacks seeing the field for the Browns this year instead of expanding it to four.
Yeah, I like that too, and I'll even hit you with a stat in honor of you, because
you
are the stat man.
I appreciate that.
And the stat is that Jason Campbell has made two career starts against these New England Patriots. Well, not this particular Patriots team, but he definitely has started against Patriot teams. And here's the numbers, 46 of 75, that's a 61% completion rate. I did that in my head. 541 yards with two touchdowns, three interceptions. Not so good there. So as I look at this, I see two things, Nathan. He's got to stay in one piece for the game. He's got to finish the game. And,
yes.
And right now that is looking like a tall order for Jason Campbell, just given what we've seen. His best game, Baltimore, finished that with the injured ribs. And then he had the concussion, obviously, against Pittsburgh. So I'd like to see him get through this game. And I think of all the scenarios for quarterback for the Browns, just in the here and now, this is the best one.
By far the best one, and gives you at least a glimmer of hope that we're going to trot out a team with a quarterback who's been here all season, who knows the system, the learning curve, the continuity with the receivers will be there. So at least we have that. Is the matchup still tough? Absolutely. Are the New England Patriots playing great football? Of course they are. But at least you got Jason Campbell. So it makes you feel a little bit better headed into what is a difficult game and a difficult challenge for a Cleveland Browns team that, as we both know, is not doing so well of late, one win in the last seven.
Yeah, and Rob Chudzinski, the Browns coach, telling media a little bit earlier today and announcing that Campbell would be the starter, still undecided about the number two quarterback. That would be either Alex Tanny or our good friend and latest Cleveland Brown, Caleb Haney, who's only been here a matter of a few days. So he's going to decide between those two. I don't know when that call comes down, if that's something we find out about tomorrow or even Sunday perhaps. It won't be Brandon Whedon, though. Brandon Whedon's still going through the NFL concussion protocol, but he didn't indicate that it was a very serious situation with Brandon Whedon, so it looks like Whedon's availability would be there probably after this week. So, look, with four games left now, if you can get through these four, I mean, hopefully all of them with a healthy Jason Campbell, that's a really good scenario. And then if need be, it had to be somebody else because Campbell couldn't do it physically or whatever, then you're going to hopefully Brandon Whedon. And I say hopefully because I don't think the Haney and Tanny options are good ones. So that just doesn't work out. And you know, we got it now that this is an interactive show. I mean, and
it
I'm
is.
Talking about the action right in our studio. So our own Carly McCord is with us today. She alternates with Megan Rock as far as helping us out in the studio. But this is an important day because she's got her LSU garb on, as she usually does.
Always.
But something interesting, because the gentleman who just walked by that you waved to, tell us, we know who it is, but tell our audience who that was, and let's just get a little information behind this man's presence.
Brad Wing, he's the former punter for LSU. He is Australian. They call him the Aussie Brad at LSU. He's legend there for sure, known for that touchdown he ran back against Florida that got called back for taunting. You know, so Brad definitely has made a name for himself, but he is one of a kind because he's a right-footed punter and a left-footed punter.
Okay.
As we all know, New England's punter is a left-footed punter, so he is here today to punt to our kick returners just to get them prepared for what it's going to be like.
Just to give them the feel for that, and he did that out at practice. practiced today or going to be doing it now. And, yeah, I think that's – and thank you so much for that little insight, because I know you know him, and I knew you knew he was going to be coming up here. And we'll see what happens. Maybe also he could – who knows? He could maybe become the Browns punter at some
Hopefully
point.
Hopefully so. We need more Tigers up here in the north.
Right? Now, okay. Well, yeah, we got to up our Tiger quotient, Nathan. What do you think of that?
He loves the idea.
I love the idea. Exactly. Well, Che, we're just going to start spelling go, G-E-A-U-X, around here.
Yeah.
Listen, all the time.
It's working for LSU. Why not have it work for the Cleveland Browns?
But that's, you know, that's another step that a team, a detail that you should take, because it is a different kind of kick, as I've heard special teams coaches and players discuss this through the years, that when you're dealing with a lefty, the ball does come, you know, obviously it rotates a little differently, and that's the biggest thing, the spin, and then just how it travels, and you're a return guy who's used to handling a ball a certain way, this is a good opportunity to do that. And doing it, obviously, too, in the conditions, you know, outside, it's going to be probably a cold, blustery day. We can expect that in Foxborough, Massachusetts. So I think that's another thing that these guys should get used to. And you don't – and Nathan, of the list of things that you look at for a game like this, to give the Browns an opportunity to win a game that no one has them even having a prayer of competing in, you have to be flawless right there on special teams.
You got to be flawless on special teams. You've got to take care of the football. Since week 10, only the New York Jets have thrown more interceptions than the Cleveland Browns, who have thrown 6 during that span, not to mention the block punts, not to mention the fumbles, etc. So, yes, I think that clearly taking advantage of special teams and handling that job, as we always hear Gerard Cherry talk about, complementary football. The truth of the matter is, this is a game that the Browns are going to need to play flawlessly in, and they are going to have to win the turnover battle, and that is the chance. That is the one chance to go up there and steal one from the New England Patriots. My biggest concern with this game is, I think the Patriots had their trap game last week. Normally you'd say they're going to look ahead to the big games, but they played a game against that Texans team, which is clearly a dreadful team, as you saw last night.
And with today's news that Gary Kubiak
has
been fired.
He is out of there. Yeah. But that was a game that the Patriots won 34-31 on the road, and I'm pretty sure Bill Belichick said, listen, we have some tough games coming up. Don't even think about letting this one get away. They're playing for home field, and I think that if the timing is kind of bad. It's akin to Carolina went on the road to Miami in week number 12 and almost let that game get away from them. They ended up pulling it out. Then they went home, and everybody's, oh, Tampa's got a lot of momentum, and Carolina crushed them. I think this could be, unfortunately, a similar situation for the New England Patriots and the Browns this weekend.
By the way, Carly, what's the deal with all these Louisiana kickers being left-footed? Ryan Allen... Did you know him? I do know him
just from working in Louisiana sports. But he was the Ray Guy finalist, and then he ended up winning also. So.
Right.
It just must be in the water. You know, we like to be different.
Are you a lefty?
I am not.
Maybe it's the chicory and the coffee.
It's the chicory and the coffee and the beignets in the morning.
That's right.
That affects
that. Makes
okay. I'm a lefty. I've been drinking this chicory coffee that you brought up, by the way, and thank you so much. You brought that back from your recent visit. Back home. I wonder if that's going to make me right-handed.
Oh, you think? No, I mean, I think it...
Well, it could have the opposite effect.
Yeah, well, maybe so.
Or enhance my leftiness.
See which better leg you...
yeah, I should go out and
more suited
kick.
For you.
That'll be bad news all the way around. All right,
we'll sign you up tomorrow.
This is a Call Your Shot Friday, so we want you to do that. We want you to call us at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. You tweet us at Browns_daily, at VICCARUCCI, at NATHANZEGURA. Carly McCord also on Twitter, and she will be tweeting, by the way, from the Browns Twitter account throughout, the Browns Daily Twitter account throughout the show. So you want to be following us that way. And she's also going to be putting together the Browns Daily Wrap, which will be posted, very popular feature that we've added to clevelandbrowns.com that will be posted a little later today. The other thing we want to tell you about with the show, our own, of course, Gerard Cherry will join us in hour number two. Nate Ulrich in hour number two. Probably going to hear from him somewhere around maybe 2:15, 2:30 from the Akron Beacon Journal. Want to get his take on the quarterback situation and overall just looking at this Browns team entering the first of its final four games of the season, and three of these games being on the road. So we got one more home game to look forward to, and that is against the Chicago Bears. And it's winding down, my friend. We are in the quarter. This is it, the last bit, and you'll be surprised, or maybe you won't be, how fast these 4 weeks are going to travel. And then we're going to be talking draft,
and that, you know, that's okay. We'll see what happens there. We'll see what goes on with that, and it'll be an exciting thing. But hopefully you want to see something over these final 4 weeks that gives you some hope about next year. We want to hear from you guys. Call your shot on a Call Your Shot Friday here on Browns Daily. You can call the show 216-578-0850 or tweet us at Browns_Daily. We're going to go through some of the numbers of the matchups as the show progresses. We will have our Friday forecast sweeping the nation, obviously, 2:15 p.m. Eastern. So lots of good stuff to get to here. We'll hear from the coordinators of the Cleveland Browns as well, both Norv Turner and Ray Horton. We have some sound from them, as well as the coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick. So lots of stuff to get to. But again, if you're just joining us, the big news of the day, Jason Campbell has been cleared and will start for the Cleveland Browns this Sunday against New England.
Yeah, that is the big news. We're not surprised because he got cleared for practice yesterday. We thought that would be the first meaningful step toward him becoming the quarterback. The feedback I got yesterday was it was still sort of iffy, and then and I think more progress to just iffy from the standpoint that, you know, how was he feeling, and he wasn't maybe 100% there. But I think now he's it looks like he's in good stead, obviously, to get cleared to play in the game. As far as breaking news goes, too, we just touched on this a second ago. So the first firing of a head coach has taken place this season, and it is Gary Kubiak being fired as the head coach of the Houston Texans in the aftermath of last night's loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And basically that was the final straw for Bob McNair, the owner of the Jags. I know Bob pretty well through the years, have gotten to know him, and he was a patient guy. He was definitely a Kubiak guy in so many ways and wanted it to work for him. But last night was the last straw because of the fact that it was the Jaguars, and he felt the Texans were the better team and played worse than that team to lose. And
for the second time in 3 weeks, by the way.
Yeah, for the second time in 3 weeks by the Texans. And frankly, that's what happened, I thought, to the Browns last week, too, is that I think they were a better team than Jacksonville and wound up losing that football game as well. But focusing on the Texans, so Wade Phillips, who is their defensive coordinator, becomes their interim head coach. But here's the thing, and this is another part of the thought process. The Texans want to have themselves focused on the likelihood of having the top overall pick right now of this draft. And in so doing, they want to make sure that the vision is clear, because that pick to them is almost assuredly going to be a quarterback. And they need one. I mean, they're going to move on from Matt Schaub, obviously. They got Case Keenum in there now. Neither of those guys is their future at that position. So they're going to draft their quarterback. And it's just yet another situation, Nathan, when you run it down, and I've got upwards of about 10 teams, at least 10, that you could make the legitimate case that are looking for quarterbacks in a draft that's not going to have, at least in terms of what we know the presumed list of quarterbacks to be, 10 quarterbacks. You're just not going to get, you know, your 10. I mean, you're going to, a few teams are going to get quarterbacks. We hope, by the way, the one that we care about the most is one of those teams, but it just enhances the idea that if you're holding the number one pick and the option of maybe trading up to get that pick, which the Browns would presumably have because they have two first rounders, not so easy.
It's possible, though. You look at it, they're on the hook for $10 million to Matt Schaub, fully guaranteed in his contract next year. The quarterback class in 2015 is maybe looking better, so it could be a situation where they decide, hey, why don't we draft Clowney, put him with J.J. Watt on the line, we'll have the most dominant defensive line. There are options for them, we'll see what happens there, but you got to think it's a pretty appealing job for coaching candidates out there. Bob McNair saying he wanted to talk to Lovie Smith is one of the people that he mentioned in his press conference today. It's an interesting job. Remember, this is the same thing we saw in Kansas City, a team that is pretty good, was kind of close, but had just a catastrophic season. They brought in a quarterback, they brought in a new head coach, and now obviously they've lost three in a row, and they're sitting at 9-3, but that means they started off 9-0 It's a team that I think could make a pretty quick turnaround again, and perhaps they end up with Teddy Bridgewater at the number one pick. Who knows?
And you mentioned, too, about the possibility of going Jadeveon Clowney, going defense, because Wade Phillips, although he's had multiple head coaching kicks at the can, and I personally think the world of Wade, and I would love him to have that opportunity just personally. But realistically, I don't know that he's going to get this another kick, and I don't know that that's something that you could sell to Texans fans. But there's speculation out there that that's obviously in the conversation. That okay, you got Wade there now as interim, and you know, see how this team finishes. I know he's very popular with the defensive players. He had a lot of pull, by the way, with that defense. He was in many ways like the assistant. He was sort of like a co-head coach in terms of the power that he was able to wield along with Gary Kubiak. So what I'm driving at is, if it's a defensive-minded guy, Lovie Smith is another guy that's defensive-oriented, that could drive the thinking of that first pick towards somebody other than a quarterback, which, again, would be a good thing from the Browns' perspective.
It would be. And also the fact that, listen, Matt Schaub is still okay. I think he got into a bad rut in this offense. It will be a new offense. And they're on the hook for $10 million guaranteed. So there would be massive salary cap ramifications to not have him on the team, right, or to have him and not play him. You're tying up $10 million in nothing.
Right.
So there is the possibility, I think, that maybe they would look to maybe trade down or draft defensively, as you said. But again, this is all speculation that we can go with later on.
Kicking it around.
Yeah, but I thought it was a very interesting game. You see this Jacksonville Jaguars team becoming, you know, they're really rallying around Gus Bradley and the coaching down there. You're seeing them play very hard and winning another game, their fourth win. Is it their fourth win in their last five games?
Yeah, sounds right.
Three in a row and four out of the last five. They have the longest winning streak in the AFC, by the way.
that's saying nothing, I
the
guess,
Jacksonville
about,
Jaguars.
About the yeah, they do. No, they and same guys that you saw against the Browns coming up big, Cecil Shorts, and
they could end Chad up Henning. 7-9. It is possible that this is a team that ends up 7-9, and if they do, they will make the playoffs because of all the tiebreakers. People were looking through that scenario if they win out, because they play their schedule. I think they play Tennessee, they play Indianapolis week 17, who could have already locked up where they are in the playoffs and have nothing to play for.
Right.
It's possible that they could do it. The Jacksonville Jaguars, everybody.
A Sanders.
Two-tone helmets.
A Sanders. He's my new favorite player.
You love A Sanders. He's a third-down machine, A Sanders.
I don't love what he did against the Browns. But I do, you know, look, I give them props. I mean, 0-8 to, like you said, a scenario that has them winning seven games. My God, that's, you know, that'll be, and you just talk about how quickly the tide turns in this league. I mean, just how quickly in a season it can turn. So
look at the Browns season.
And that's what I was going to say. Look at the Browns season in the reverse respect.
Right.
But from the standpoint of how much better you can get in the following year as a team in this league, Kansas City to what they are now, we're looking at it with the Browns perhaps, and we'll see where it goes from here. But there's hope in that. There's hope in that you can turn things around rapidly. Let's get a quick bark, because we got one from the dog pound here. 216-578-0850. He is Ron from Florida. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Vic. How you doing? Nate, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listening to you guys on the internet. Hey, I've been meaning to call you, Vic. I'm pretty impressed with what Ray Horton's done with the defense this year. And I've heard on some of the other shows, I've heard his name being thrown around as a head coaching candidate. And my question for you is, do the Browns have somebody readily available to take over if Ray Horton gets a head coaching job?
I don't know. I would hesitate to say that they have the, quote, readily available guy. I think you can't really approach it quite that way, Ron, even though it makes sense to think that you had a head coaching candidate here, among other places, when Ray Horton was interviewed by the Browns. But as I look at it, immediately on the staff, not necessarily. I don't know that there's an obvious guy that you're going to point to as a coordinator. And that doesn't mean that there isn't one. That doesn't mean the other position coaches that are here, if you talk about a Louis Chofi who coaches the defensive backs, or you talk about, you know, Brian Beaker who's doing the outside linebackers, or right down the line of coaches, Joe Cullen, the D-line coach. I mean, they have some good people here, but I'm not entirely sure any of them would be readily regarded as coordinators. I'd have to think that if Ray Horton were to end up moving on to a head coaching job, as a lot of people expect could be the case for him, this team would have to go out and do a search.
No question. And you'd have to find a guy, I think, who is a 3-4 guy that can build upon what Ray Horton has done, somebody from that coaching tree, hopefully, to bring the continuity to this defense, because the defense is starting to play very well. Now, granted, we've had some breakdowns in the pass defense. We've talked about that. 7 straight games with multiple passing scores allowed. But I think this is a defense that certainly has the foundations of being successful and allowing this team to get where it wants to next year in the playoffs if the offense can match its level of production. Because right now, the Cleveland Browns sit 29th in the NFL in terms of points scored this year at 231. That is a problem, and they're facing a team with nearly 100 more points than them this year, the 6th best offense in the NFL, 322, the New England Patriots. So you got to help that offense out, and I think that's what we're going to see in the draft. The defense obviously playing very, very well. We'll be back with more as we continue our preview of the New England Patriots and the Cleveland Browns. We'll hear from the head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick, the offensive and defensive coordinators of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Horton and Norv Turner. And we also want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns_Daily. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, it's CBD, driven by Liberty Ford.